Welcome to the X-Cast X-Files Podwatch, episode 16. Today we are covering the episodes Ascension and 3. I am your host, Andrew Blaker, and with me is Clara Cook. Hello, Clara.
Hello, Andrew.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good.
So we are going to jump right on in. Again, as I said, our first episode we are covering is Ascension. This is episode 6 of season 2. Originally aired October 21st, 1994. This is the sequel to Duane Barry. And this episode is written by Paul Brown, directed by Michael Lange. So in Duane Barry, we had a hostage situation in where Mulder was dragged in. Duane Barry introduced as an alien, a multiple alien abductee. That episode ended on a cliffhanger, leading right into this episode where Agent Scully is abducted by Duane Barry. Mulder is racing against time to locate her. Most people know the story behind the episodes. Gillian Anderson was pregnant, and they knew she would need to be absent or at least have very limited involvement for probably a couple, three episodes. So, you know, it's been well documented that this really was the impetus behind launching the mythology. Up till now, you have mythology episodes kind of going really every which way and not really committing fully to a particular course. And with Scully being abducted and subject to alien experimentation, that obviously leads into multiple plot threads for the remainder of the series. So, Clara, what did you think about this episode?
I love this episode. It's one of my favorite episodes. I just think it's very atmospheric. The music is used really well. It's thrilling. It's exciting. And it's also... I mean, I'm watching this for the... I must have been watching this for, like, the 100th time this time around. But I still, at the very end, was, like, shocked that Scully actually got abducted. I knew it was coming, but I was hoping the entire episode that Mulder would be able to get to her in time. And several times during the episode, you think he's going to do it. So it just goes to show what a good episode it is, that even years later, knowing the outcome, knowing how it's going to end, I was still rooting for Mulder to find Scully and to essentially save her. I think everybody acts really well in it. Krycek's revealed to be a villain. Cigarette-smoking man is revealed to be behind the abduction, or at least helping to organize part of it. Skinner is revealed to be an ally. And Duane Barry, the guy that plays Duane Barry, Steve Railsback, is just fantastic. You sort of sympathize with him in Duane Barry, and then in this episode, you don't sympathize with him as much because obviously he's abducted our heroine, our favorite character. But you also do feel sorry for him too. You know, he's kind of a victim. And it just also, David Duchovny acts really well in this episode. You know, he goes through these different emotions. He's exhausted, he's tired, he's weary, he's, you know, worried. And at one point, he gets so enraged that he actually almost chokes Duane Barry to death, thinking that Duane Barry may have harmed Scully. It just goes to show how desperate he is. He's just, and his paranoia as well, really serves him well in this episode. You think for a lot of the series, you're thinking, you know, he's paranoid, he's kind of crazy, you know, as part of his character. But in this episode, his paranoia really actually does prove to be right. You know, he thinks that Krycek is working with the cigarette smoking man, and he is. So yeah, it's just everything about it is just brilliant.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like you said, Steve Railsback, just tremendous actor. And I kind of wish that I don't know how they would have done it, but you know, it's a pity that he is only in two episodes, Duane Barry and Ascension, because I feel like he could have been someone maybe down the road that could have been revisited. You know, you never really find out what the truth is with him. And like you said, you know, it's like this one episode introduces so many different things and kind of clarifies a lot. You know, Skinner's loyalties, Krycek's loyalties. He's in alliance with the cigarette smoking man, and it kind of just all unspools from there. But I would have liked to see, you know, what a little bit more about, you know, Duane Barry. I mean, is he, you know, was he an alien abductee? Was he just someone who was subject to, you know, tests? Was he certifiably crazy? I mean, that's one thing Duane Barry did so well. You're kind of held in suspense the entire episode. Even when Scully declares she knows the truth about him, she finds out the truth, you don't know for certain. And that's what it did so well, I think.
I feel that he dies awfully prematurely, I have to say. I mean, I understand that Dwayne Barry in this cycle of these two episodes, in this mythology cycle, there's no way he could have lived. But I do feel that he dies awfully quickly.
He did.
Yeah. I didn't expect him to die so soon after Scully's abducted by the by somebody, at least government or aliens, we don't know. But yeah, I thought his death was a bit premature. But it serves a purpose too, because it calls into question Mulder's actions in the in this sort of lodge at the top of Skyland Mountain. I did want to say something about the use of music in the episode. We don't get much popular music in the X-Files. Or many sort of songs with lyrics. You know, we get a lot of orchestral music or Mark Snow's electronic music. But it was really great for them to use the Nick Cave song, Red Right Hand, in the scene where Dwayne Barry's driving. It's very atmospheric. It creates this sort of, you know, sinister feeling, but also the sort of kind of desperation as he's driving, the sort of determination that he has to get to Skyland Mountain. And it's so much so that I just thought it was music over the top of the scene, but he's actually listening to it, which makes me like Dwayne Barry even more. I'm like, oh, he's got eclectic taste in music, you know. And it's got good lyrics for the episode as well, so I thought it was a good touch.
And of course, this is the episode where the X-Files are officially reopened after having been closed at the end of the Erlenmeyer flask. You've had well, 5-6 episodes or so, several standalone cases where, as we talked about with the host, they're out acting outside the parameters of their job, technically speaking. And so in this episode, the X-Files are officially reopened in order to investigate the truth about what's happened to Scully, which, again, will be a couple of episodes before we find out about that. But a big landmark event in this episode. And really, it is the kickoff for the mythology. Like I said, beforehand, you had different mythology episodes of season one that covered many different things and were purposely rather vague. And in my opinion alone, I, in some respects, prefer those earlier episodes because they felt like they could be applicable to any number of situations. You know, they didn't commit to a certain route. They didn't get very convoluted, as the mythology does the longer the show goes on. I'm thinking like, but even episodes like the Erlenmeyer flask, where, you know, it does commit to a certain thing, but it's still early enough that, you know, it doesn't go one way or another, if I'm making any sense. You know, you see something and then it's snatched away from you, the alien hybrids and all that. But with this episode, I mean, with Scully's abduction, it really sets the path for really what comes next for the next several years, I think.
This also gives more credence to Mulder's story about his sister being abducted. Because through the first series, you know, I mean, and for this early part of the second series, you very much view Mulder through Scully's eyes. You know, he's this sort of out of control kind of eccentric FBI agent, and we're never quite sure about what happened to his sister. And I know other explanations are offered later in the series about what happened to Samantha, but this is kind of a very real manifestation of Mulder's fear of, I suppose, alien abduction or the government colluding with aliens to abduct people. And I suppose a bit more authority to Mulder's quest, if you see what I'm saying, to find his sister.
Absolutely.
This is like his worst fear. Now there's another person that he holds dear being taken in a very similar way, and there's nothing really he can do about it. It's made very clear, even when he has to be desperate to climb on top of the cable car, which is a stunt apparently that David Duchovny did himself. But he's very desperate in the entire episode, but at the same time you're rooting for him to be able to save her, but you kind of know there's nothing really he can do. Like, the conspiracy is too big, and the forces against him are too strong. It's sort of the beginning of that sort of theme that goes on throughout the series, which is that Mulder and Scully are these two small, important but small characters in this overarching huge conspiracy mythology.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's like I said, it really kicks everything off, and it just I think it's just a fantastic episode. Well made, atmospheric, and you know, what little acting you do get from Gillian Anderson, I mean, she pretty much just has to lie in the trunk the way they shot that, I mean, it just captures the sense of doom, the sense of, you know, tension, what's happening so well, in my opinion. So was there anything else you wanted to say about Ascension?
No, just that the motif of Scully's cross, I think, is first sort of properly introduced in this episode. You know, we see her cross in multiple episodes throughout the series, and she gives a cross to certain people and, you know, all that sort of thing. But I think in this episode, it really is the one is when he finds the cross in the trunk of the car and later on tries to give it to to Scully's mother at the end of the episode. And she gives it back to him. And then that cross becomes this sort of thread between Mulder and Scully, and becomes a symbol of Scully's religious beliefs, which we explore later on in the series in other episodes.
Absolutely. So we should go ahead and move on to the second episode for this episode, this Podwatch episode, and that is the episode 3, episode 7 of the second season. So this episode aired on November 4th, 1994, and this aired between Ascension, which we just discussed, and its concluding episode, One Breath. This was the episode, this was actually one of only four or five, depending on what you think constitutes an appearance. This was one of only four or five episodes that Gillian Anderson was not in. Other than that, she was in every other episode in one capacity or another. This episode was written by Glenn Morgan, James Wong, and Chris Rupenthal, directed by David Nutter. And Mulder is on his own in this. Like I said, Gillian Anderson was not in this. He is investigating a series of seemingly vampiric killings and introduced to a trio of modern day vampires. Now, this episode is not very well received by the majority of people. Clara, what do you think of this episode?
Well, I think it's pretty bad, to be honest. I did find quite a lot of it unintentionally hilarious, which is normally what happens when I watch a bad X-Files episode. And there aren't many, don't get me wrong, I like most episodes, but instead of being like disgusted or irritated, I actually just find them really funny. I have to say, none of it's scary. It's very kitsch. It just feels kitsch to me. It feels very 90s, which they couldn't help because they filmed it and made it in the 90s. But I think this vampire, the vampire genre is huge. You know, there are many vampire films, many vampire TV shows, many vampire books, all sorts of stuff like that. So to do it well, you know, I think it's quite hard. And I just don't think X-Files does vampires well. The whole thing had sort of a strange sort of soft kind of, I don't know, lens to it. I felt like I was watching some sort of weird, soft kind of bad movie, you know, sort of hazy movie set in LA where like Mulder kind of wandered into, you know. We know that Mulder's not in a very good frame of mind. We know he's got a very turbulent frame of mind because he's not shaved in a while. And as I know from the X-Files, from more than one episode, when Mulder's stressed, he's got like a 5 o'clock shadow.
That's the first thing that goes. That's right.
Yeah, it's the first thing that goes. It's got to be a sign of a turbulent mind. He seems kind of bored throughout the whole thing. And I understand that at the time, Perry Reeves, I think, might have been David Duchovny's girlfriend. So maybe that's why she was in this episode. Or maybe I hope they genuinely cast her because they liked her. But I think her acting is pretty poor, to be honest. She seems kind of bored herself. And there's this shaving scene where she tries to shave him and then she accidentally cuts him and, you know, tries to taste his blood. And then I assume they end up having sex afterwards. And I just think shaving scenes are just not even remotely sexy. I mean, do you know what I mean? And,
I do.
I was like, why is he letting her shave him? Like, I mean, there's no mirror, I suppose, but the whole thing seems strange, you know?
Yeah, no, it certainly is. I think I will differ from you slightly in the first half of this episode. I thought it started out very strong. No, let me preface that. I think if this episode had been a case maybe featured later in the season with Mulder and Scully both involved, I think it would have been viewed a little bit more favorably. I think there are elements of it that there were elements to me that were, I mean, great visuals, somewhat disturbing. I think when Mulder discovers the first vampire, the man that works in the blood bank. He's down in a dark storeroom drinking out of these blood vials. I mean, that scene there, I don't know. Something about it to me just, it was really disturbing. And I thought that was a really great visual. And then when he ends up burning, you know, the whole myth of, you know, vampires burn up in the sun, and this guy's in a prison cell trying to get away from the daylight, and in fact burns. I mean, I thought that there were some really great visuals that had potentials, but by the time we are introduced to Kristen, played by Perry Reeves, it kind of just delves into this whole pseudo-sexual softcore kind of thing, like you said, and I just don't really, I don't know. And then the whole shaving scene, the implied sex scene, it was awkward. And that's probably the bone of contention with most fans, I think. You know, anytime you separate Mulder and Scully, and then anytime you imply one or the other may have something on the side, I mean, that's not going to go over well. But in this episode, it really seemed kind of out of character for Mulder. It just felt really forced. One thing that I thought was interesting is that both Glenn Morgan and James Wong have criticized this episode. Evidently, I'm not sure the specifics, but there were Fox censured part of the episode. I'm not sure if that meant certain scenes were removed or cut or whatever, but they did criticize that. Glenn Morgan evidently did not want to even do a vampire episode. And like you said, I mean, bad blood aside, which is really, you know, a very good episode, very comedic episode, I don't think the vampire theme is a strong suit for the show.
No, I think, I mean, bad blood's obviously got a lot of other things going for it other than just vampires, and bad blood does really parody vampires, really, to be honest. So it's not, you know, what I would call taking the vampire genre seriously. It was also the mixing of religion in it as well, you know, so the quote on the wall right in the beginning, the religious quote from the Bible, and talking about how they were gonna live forever. And sometimes, and I'm thinking about just the episode that I recently did on a podcast for The X-Files, the Calasari, sometimes I feel that The X-Files mixes up too many different themes in one episode, you know, should just stick to maybe one and do it really well. And I think mixing this belief of living forever through consuming blood, through religion, like an unholy trinity, and vampires. That's like, so these are religious vampires who believe they're on a holy trinity and eternal life, and it just seems a little bit much, you know?
Yes.
I think you can do a vampire episode of The X-Files and do it well, but I think it has to be a hell of a lot creepier. I have to say, I did really like the burning countryside in LA. I think that you know, the sort of forest fires or caused by the heat in LA, I thought that was kind of a good background landscape, so that this is kind of very hot summer in LA at the same time as this hot summer where everybody's tempers are running high, I suppose, and then there's this natural fires happening. There's also these murders being committed by these vampires. There were some funny touches to it. So when Mulder wants to interrogate the first vampire, and he says, "Oh, I'll only speak to Mulder," and you can see how quickly all the other detectives just leave the room. They're like, "Yeah, whatever, go ahead."
Yes,
there were some funny moments, I think, but it's just not hugely memorable, you know.
No, and I think, like I said, I feel like there were some, I felt like it started off strong enough. There were some good visuals, but ultimately kind of fell apart in the second act. And like I said, you know, taking place between two very good episodes, Ascension and One Breath, you know, kind of probably did not help it at all. Had it aired later in the season with both agents on the case, it would have been interesting to see if the response had been a little bit better, perhaps.
Yeah, and there's also this thing as well, that when Mulder and Scully deviate from their partnership with each other, they do often end up going off and sleeping with other people, which seems strange, because at this point in their relationship, they're having a platonic relationship. Like, don't get me wrong, they're friends and they care about each other and they're working together, but they aren't in a physical relationship. So it feels strange to me that Mulder's reaction to Scully being abducted, and he's obviously grief-stricken. In the beginning, he's putting her belongings into an X-File folder file in the actual office. Like, she's an X-file now. And so he's grief-stricken about it. And Kristen keeps touching his cross and Scully's cross, which is around his neck. He keeps mentioning about how he's lost someone dear to him. And so it's implied that he is sort of suffering from not having Scully be there. But he's not in love with Scully. You know what I mean? He's not sleeping with Scully. So it seems like a weird reaction for him to suddenly, like, have this sexual relationship, or not relationship, but this, you know, implied sexual experience with this vampire woman, which makes you think, is he, I don't know, what's he doing? And why is he in her house at night? You know, I mean, why isn't she screaming? Why isn't she calling the police? Like,
on? It definitely, like I said, by the time you get to that scene, you're just, I think most people have kind of checked out, and you're just kind of like, okay,
yeah.
the logic there is a little lacking.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us, Clara, and for you listening out there, thank you again. This has been an episode of the X-Cast Pod Watch, going through all X-Files episodes in anticipation of Season 11, due in 2018. You can check us out on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter handle is @X_cast. Our Facebook group is the X-Cast. Please check us out on there. It's a great community of people. Next episode's upcoming, episode 17, will cover One Breath and Firewalker. Clara, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And everyone, until next time, remember, trust no one.